It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. From the downward sun salutation to the archer, yoga enthusiasts are striking poses throughout the nation. Yoga studios are springing up all over the country, and today we're going to take a deep, calming breath and look at the business of yoga with contributor Rebecca Harris, director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University. Rebecca, welcome back. How are you?
Namaste, Paul. Namaste.
Oh, yes.
That's yoga.
Of
Paul,
course.
For like calming, hello. That's how you start a class. I'm great. I'm just great, Paul. It's nice to see you.
Why don't
again.
We just start the segment by meditating?
Okay, that would be good. Okay, no, we have too much
that
to say.
That won't work on the radio.
No.
All right, so tell us a bit about the history of yoga.
Okay. So the classical techniques of yoga date back more than 5,000 years, and it was really a desire for greater personal freedom, for health, for long life, for heightened self-understanding, and it was a way to put together physical and mental exercises. And the word yoga means to join or yoke together, which I actually didn't know. So it brings together the mind and the body into sort of a harmonious experience. And the whole system of yoga, Paul, is built on three main structures. They are exercise, breathing, and meditation, designed to put pressure on the glandular systems of the body and thereby increasing the efficiency and one's total health, which is really exciting and cool and good for you.
Mm.
And yoga, yeah, come on, smile, Paul.
No. I'm actually relaxing.
Yeah, there we go. Okay.
I've done yoga.
Yes, and yoga.
Right? In the interest of full disclosure,
okay,
I've
yes,
done it.
As I've. So yoga, which is not a religion, arrived probably in the United States in the late 1800s, but it wasn't really widely known until about the 1960s as part of the youth culture's growing interest in the Eastern cultures, and became much more well known as the benefits became well known and people started to really help manage their own stress by doing yoga. And now physicians recommend yoga practice to patients who are at risk for heart disease, people with back pain, arthritis, depression, chronic conditions. So yoga is a good thing.
So let's look at the numbers and the trends in yoga today.
Okay. So Yoga in America study, which was released by the Yoga Journal, shows that 20.4 million Americans practice yoga now, which was compared to a study in 2008, which showed about 15 million people practice yoga. So it's an increase of close to 30%. Practitioners spend, listen to this, Paul, $10.3 billion a year on yoga classes and products and equipment and clothing and retreats and media.
That's a lot of leotards.
Not leotards, that's dancing. Yoga outfits, Paul.
Sorry.
That's okay. The previous estimate from the 2008 study was $5.7 billion. So it is an industry that is truly a business. And 8.7% of U.S. adults practice yoga. And this is interesting. Of current non-practitioners, people who don't practice yoga, 44% of Americans call themselves aspiring yogis. So they really are interested. So they need to get with it. The majority of today's practitioners fall within the range of 18 to 44. And most people have practiced a couple, 3 years. And so that's what we're finding. And many fall a little bit past beginning and intermediate. So that's what we're looking at.
So how are people making money in yoga today?
Right. So there are some different ways that people are making money. Some of the newer trends that we've seen actually help the money part of this. We're seeing power yoga, which is a general term now used in the West to describe a very vigorous fitness-based style of yoga. And a number of people are doing that. They're doing hot yoga, which is this power yoga in very hot studios, which are heated. And that's a new trend, which is also can take a number of people in the classes. So people are making money that way. Festivals are going on. We had a festival in 2012. World Magazine did a festival in downtown Pittsburgh. We're also seeing that many people are having retreats. So they're inviting people to retreats. If they're instructors, they bring people to their retreats. Yet another way of earning income. Plus the training of teachers. So yogis currently now train new yogis. And as you go through teacher training, that involves fees. So there are a number of different ways to really earn revenue in yoga.
And are there industry regulators, especially when you're talking about like different, you know, people trying things like, well, let's turn up the heat and do hot yoga.
Right.
Who's watching over
So who's watching over all that? Well, hopefully the individual instructors are very conscientious about this. There are credentials for registered yoga teachers. There's the Yoga Alliance. And we have lots of links on your website, Paul, so people can check these out. There's also Yoga Works. And both of these associations really regulate. They talk about the number of hours required to receive teacher certification, what needs to be covered, all the bases that you need to cover. So there is regulation, and certainly one needs to self-regulate as well.
We're talking with our business contributor, Rebecca Harris, about the business of yoga. And Rebecca, what are the yogis in Pittsburgh saying about the practice today?
Yeah, well, I talked to some great yogis, and there's so many of them, and we've listed a number of different listings again. But I talked to Christy Rogers, who's the director of BYOS, and she does a lot of classes in her studio, but she also takes classes on the road and goes into companies and does classes in companies. I actually just left the URA for a meeting, and they were doing their noontime yoga, and I was like, I'm going to talk about you, because yoga in the workplace is a really interesting activity. People can do it. Now, that can't be the really hard power yoga unless you have a gym and you can really go and shower and everything afterwards, but having yoga in the workforce is something that she's really seen.
Aren't there other cultures that do this and find that it produces tremendous, it makes workers more productive?
Workforce productivity, rest, better fitness overall, and less back aches. There's a lot of good things that account for that. And sometimes these programs are subsidized by the company. Sometimes employees pay into them a little bit. So that's a nice way of doing things. The other person that I talked to was Linda Miyachi. She's with Schoolhouse Yoga, and that's yet another yoga studio and chain of studios here. And she's a very gifted teacher, and I really enjoy talking with her. And she really recognizes the potential of individuals and draws from her experiences as a performing artist, an athlete, and spiritual student. And she really helps create a safe, integrative environment for self-exploration and personal growth. And she's been doing yoga for many, many years. So we really know that she has what it takes. And she does lots of things, from teaching to working in studios to having taking people on retreats. One thing I think that she mentioned that a number of other people mentioned was that it is very important that as people are doing more physical yoga, to remember exercise is exercise. So if it's starting to hurt, and we as Americans tend to overdo things, you need to stop.
Yeah.
You can overstretch, you can hurt ligaments, you can hurt bones, you can get tendonitis.
Yes, dispense with the no pain, no gain here. And before we wrap this up, I guess it's BYS Yoga.
BYS Yoga. Okay,
yeah,
and I think their website has yoga. So, okay,
and we'll have links on our website at WESA.FM.
So.
Rebecca Harris, Director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University. Thank you so much for being with us.
And thank you, and namaste, and have a great holiday, Paul.
Yes, you too. And tomorrow on Essential Pittsburgh, I'll talk with Congressman Tim Murphy about legislation he's introducing that's designed to overhaul the nation's mental health system and retracing George Washington's steps as a young soldier in western Pennsylvania. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.